The opioid crisis gripping the Ohio Valley is now officially a national emergency. But more than a week after the president made that announcement, state and local health officials have little information about what that emergency declaration actually means. The Ohio Valley Resource has some analysis based on what those fighting the epidemic say they most need.
Public health officials and addiction treatment specialists say they'd yet to see any specifics on the emergency declaration, but they have no shortage of ideas on what would help. Resource reporters Mary Meehan and Aaron Payne are here to explain a few of those. A first question for both of you, how does this crisis differ from others that have prompted emergency declarations?
Well, the national health emergency system just isn't designed for the opioid epidemic. Still, several officials I spoke to say a declaration will elevate the issue and focus attention and should free up some resources.
I spoke with Dr. Rahul Gupta. He's state health officer in West Virginia. He said the opioid crisis is different because it affects nearly every aspect of the social fabric. Individuals struggle with addiction. Grandparents have to raise children. Courts are slammed with these cases. He says any plan of action resulting from an emergency declaration needs to be broad, but with clearly defined, achievable goals on a timetable.
Aaron, I'm wondering what the treatment specialists have to say. They're the folks who are like really down in the trenches on this. What do they want to see in this declaration?
A big part of what they want is federal money for medications used to combat addiction. The cost of those medications are increasing along with the overdose and addiction rates. There are emergency funds the federal government could tap into, but some of those reserve funds are limited.
So one interesting point in the president's commission's report on this, it has to do with some restrictions on Medicaid payments. Mary, what's that about?
Well, what's it about is eliminating red tape. In particular, an exclusion in the federal law that prohibits Medicaid treatment for mental health facilities or substance abuse treatment centers with more than 16 beds. And it's rooted in the 1960s at a time when health officials were trying to move away from institutions and into the community. The commission suggests eliminating that cap.
And Aaron, is it really just a question of more money, or are there other kinds of changes that are needed?
Well, something that hasn't been pointed out is staffing. Kim Miller is the director of corporate development with Prestera Center, which offers comprehensive evidence-based treatment in Huntington. She says they have the resources, but they have a recruiting issue that is tied to the crisis.
Doctors are just not excited about working with those folks because they can be difficult to work with. And the same is true for counselors. We have a counselor shortage.
You know, when the president spoke on this issue, he emphasized the role for law enforcement. I'm wondering, what are you hearing from officials about that side of the equation?
Well, Trump's comments were familiar to those who went through the Just Say No campaign of the 80s. They say the Just Say No campaign was well-intended, but not effective because it treated addiction as a moral failing rather than a disease.
Yeah, and I talked to Van Ingram, who's the director of the Kentucky Office of Drug Control Policy, and he completely agrees. Ingram, who is a former police chief, says the traditional law and order approach just isn't the answer. He knows people are really overwhelmed at the complexity of the problem, but he says there's hope.
People do recover. I meet them every day. People do turn their lives around and do amazing things with their lives.
Mary Meehan and Aaron Payne, thank you both. I know you'll continue to follow developments closely. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Jeff Young.
The Ohio Valley Resource is a public media partnership covering the region's economic transition and is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and WEKU.